now, the Bram Weinstein Show on Washington's new home for sports. ESPN 630.
Hey, babies. The babies, the babies, the babies, the babies. Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. My star player's not hurt. Don't look over here. Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
And Bradley Beal's not playing.
That's right. Uh-huh. Don't worry about that.
Everything's great over at Monumental.
It's all good.
Land. Yeah.
Bram watch the show at ESPN 630 presented by Flake by Yingling. Raise the bar at the next generation of light beer. For those of you listening live, yeah, our computer with the advertisements are all messed up. For those of you listening on the podcast version of this, as you were, don't worry about it.
Right.
I'm just going to acknowledge I don't know what's going on, and Callow has no way to fix it, and
the
computer has a mind of its own right now. That's all.
I believe.
So if we're hearing weird things all over, you know, during the breaks, don't blame us. That's the metaverse that's messing with us right
I'm
now.
Going to guess that was the ye olde satellite firing from ESPN.
Fired
our ID, then messed up the timing, and then replayed. And it's
damn
fine.
ESPN!
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Because
now I'm in control. We're good. We're good.
All right. We got a lot to talk about today. The Athletic had an exclusive with Tommy Shepard. So I'm going to talk about that at 4 o'clock. Our Tommy, terrific. We'll talk to him. We'll hear what he has to say. The fealty to Beal is at its height still. So I will, you know, I will discuss that. And I know it's complicated because, you know, as discussed ad nauseum here yesterday, Wizards fans just like the NBA, so just leave them alone, and they're not going to get mad about anything, and I'm the only person that seems to be upset about decisions that they may or may not make, but whatever. And I love Beal, and this is, you know, crazy. It's nothing to not like about Bradley Beal, but at least Josh Robbins did ask, do you feel nervous at all about giving him a deal that's $45 million a year, and it's such a humongous part of your cap moving forward?
Sure.
And he said flatly, no, we don't have a problem with that. So we'll talk about that at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about, you know, that at 4. I still do, but whatever. We'll talk about that at 4 o'clock. All right, the Washington football team has heard the complaints that the reveal of the name is going to be done on national television in New York. And as of now, I don't know of anything on February 2nd that is happening locally. I am, like all of you, very surprised by that. Like, I am. I'm not going to say I'm not. I am. I am surprised that there's not some kind of big old rollout for that, but they've heard you, and now there is a party coming a couple days later at FedEx Field in what they're calling a park and party?
Yes.
So just like, it's going to all be outside the stadium, nothing inside the stadium, right?
Yes. It sounds like they're and the thinking behind this obviously is because Omicron and they want to keep everyone outside.
Yeah,
I totally see that. I don't want to knock them for that. I think it's
I agree.
The best way to go about it, and you want to capitalize on the new name coming. I totally see why they're going this route. Yes.
Okay. Let's see. What is it here? It is happening
February 4th.
Yeah. Yes, it's happening February 4th.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. Well, let me ask the first major question. Why is it not happening the day of the reveal?
It's a great question.
Why?
It's a great question. I mean, the
what
jokes.
What else is going on at FedEx Field that day? Nothing. What could possibly be going on there that day?
I don't know. I've seen a couple of the blogs tweet that, and some of the podcasts that I follow regarding the Washington football team, that they've heard stuff is supposed to be happening the morning of the 2nd, but TikTok here, it's a couple weeks away, so I would like to know what those are. I'm with you, though. I think they underestimate the amount of people that would show up to some kind of event at FedEx Field if the new name was going to come, and there doesn't seem to be anything. At least I haven't heard anything officially, and you haven't, that something extra is coming. I'm with you. It's a little baffling right now.
And how about this one? Okay, so this is happening on the Today Show. I still, you know, I get it, don't get it all at the same time,
uh-huh.
But I get it. You know, like I look, like the reality is they want this brand to become more of a, you know, a bigger, you know, culturally entertainment savvy brand. And I think we all know that they're not there right now, but that is one of the goals of what they're trying to build here. And so they're trying to put placement of the thing in a spot where it's going to get a lot of eyeballs and hopefully be presented as something that would resonate differently. You know, I still find this interesting because I'm like, the Today Show, like that audience, there's going to be a lot of people watching that going, who's changing their name to what and why does that matter to me? But, you know, like, whatever, you know, like, that's their decision to do this. Let me ask this one then. Okay, so this is happening on the Today Show New York. Fine. Why aren't there breakfast parties where the local news stations are all at as the reveal happens so that fans locally can immediately react on camera?
Correct.
Like, and why isn't that happening right now?
And I'm going to guess that
I'll host one. You want me to host one? I'll host one.
I'm going to guess those are coming. I can't imagine there's not, like, how are those not on deck, right? Like, I know this organization has messed up on some things, but, like, I've got to imagine there's got to be something here locally. I will say this to flip it on the Today Show thing. I've seen a few tweets of fans not from here that have actually said, hey, you kind of forgot about the fans that are all across the country, and we don't want to tune into some crappy stream on Twitter or some, you know, secondhand local news. Like, they,
I hear that.
Like, you know, you don't know how well you can get NBC4 in California at 6 in the morning or whatever. And so, you know what? I actually will listen to that one because, as you and I have talked about, like,
I know what they're trying to do, and I don't disagree with it. Yeah. I'm just, you know, I just think the not having the local aspect of it on top of it, to me, is kind of like, yeah, but most of us are here.
Right,
you know,
right.
Most of us are the ones that really can't wait to see this. You know, like,
I don't even know really why I'm sticking up for the organization. I've got to think it's coming. Like, they just cannot be that naive and that short-sighted that there's not something that morning of a new name for this franchise that people really care about. And look, I'm going to say this too. I'll say this to the organization if anyone's listening from them. The people that are going to show up to that event are going to like the name regardless, most likely. Like, most likely, they're not going to...
They already know what it is. Like, short of some kind of bizarre, unbelievable hiding job they've done, we already know what it is.
Right, right.
It's
we
really
have heard
actually going to be about the look is what you're going to see.
Which we've seen a lot of, and I think everyone loves it. I think everyone loves the new look that they've seen so far. And by the way, flavor of the week is hogs, by the way, if you didn't notice that on Twitter.
It's, oh, really?
That's flavor of the week today.
It's a military name. Shut your faces, okay? It is. It's what it is. Just deal with it. Like, deal with it. It's what it is.
Anyways, but I'm... I can't think this organization isn't going to do anything that morning of the second. I can't fathom that they would not do a thing or at least say, come down to this bar and have breakfast and see the name reveal. We're going to have some giveaways. Whatever. It takes five seconds of work to get people to come out.
Let me tell you, if you're willing to just, and there's plenty of time to do this now. We still have a couple of weeks and this can all be put together very quickly.
Yeah.
Guess what? Me and Andy will go to a restaurant and do a show off the reveal live somewhere.
Totally.
And fans could show up.
I'll come too.
You know who else will do that? Sheehan will do that.
Right.
You know who else will do that? The Junkies will do that.
Yes.
You know who else will do that? Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 5,
Channel 4.
Channel 4. Yeah. They'll all do something. They'll all do something separate if you want them to. All of them. And then they'll break into their morning news shows and talk about it from the local perspective.
Like, that's right.
I don't, like, you don't even have to do one place. You could have them host their own little parties if they wanted to everywhere. And so what if only 20 people show up on TV? It doesn't look like that. So
it's true. It's true.
You know, like, I'm sure Scott Abraham would love to host something for Channel 7 somewhere that morning. I'm sure Darren Haynes would love to host something somewhere that morning. Like, I don't understand why there is no local thing happening with this.
I know.
If for no other reason, it's just kind of like, I get you want to be an international brand, but the people who are going to buy the tickets live here. Mm-hmm. And the people who care about it every day live here. So I don't quite understand it.
Look, man, I'm a season ticket holder. I was, you know, a little surprised to see that, you know, tailgate thing pop up and, you know, I'm going to get first access to that. But I'm like, that's it? That's all we got right now? Like, not going to do anything for the season ticket holders? Like, it's just a little
and here's
baffling.
The thing. Like, you could get, I mean, this is, I don't know. I know I'm throwing work on their plate like it's no big deal. But like, in reality, let's just say you picked three places to do it and said, you know, this radio station will be there, this will be there, this will be there, and these TV stations, choose the one you want to go to.
Sure.
And we're going to send Chase Young to this place, Terry McLaurin to this place, you know, John Allen to this place.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to do an interview on all of them. They're going to show you what it looks like. They'll probably even wear the jersey. They'll show you the helmet. They'll talk about the name. And I don't. And then you just blanket coverage because everybody's doing it instead of them all posting clips from the Today Show.
That's right.
Like, that's the part of it I don't understand. Give all the local media, give them some meat to chew on so that they can have their own content. And more is more here, isn't it? Isn't that what you're going for? More is more here.
I would hope.
I don't know. And like, I don't understand it. And like, I really don't.
Maybe it is being worked on behind the scenes.
Maybe.
But like, we're a month out, you know, less than a month out.
Part of me, I mean, I don't know, but like there's part of me that goes, we're going to announce on the Today Show. And then they didn't even think for a second. What about are the local people going to be like, okay, like we can't party with you? Like what's
we all got the same B-roll
like,
now.
We're not going to New York to stand outside their studio
That's right.
to say hi to Hoda. Like we're not. doing that.
Yeah, no, prefer not to, yeah.
Yeah, I prefer to head down to some bacon and egg shop in D.C.
Oh.
and get a glimpse of Chase Young and him hold up the helmet and everybody claps.
That's right.
That's what I would rather do.
Or say, yeah, you know, all the, you know, we're going to have some alumni over at the team store.
Yeah.
Go buy your new merch there and get something going over at the stadium. I mean,
right.
I hope it's coming.
Joe Theismann will push the brand.
That's right.
I'm sure he will happily go right. somewhere and do an event with you. Gary Clark right. would do it. Fred Smoot would do it. D'Angelo might do it. Santana would do it. Like, I don't know, man. Like, this is, I'm just kind of like, what? Why? But I mean, I'm glad to see they're doing this. But then I saw the date and I'm like, it's 2 days later.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why?
I don't know. And now, though, by the way, I
the
think...
The P1 fans, when this stuff comes out, are going to be ordering their merch online that day.
Of course.
It's going to be happening.
You don't think I got the gift card ready? Like, I'm ready.
Oh, God.
I'll say this, though. I think they have finally revealed their hand, though, that day is seemingly important. Because why would you announce the name 2 days before a fan event? Why wouldn't you like 2 or 3 weeks ago, say 2-4? It's going to come out that Friday. So the 2-2-22 thing, that's the conspiracy theory that it is Hogs related now, because clearly the day is a little more important than we all thought, because why would you do a fan event 2 days later on a Friday and
okay.
announce the game, you know, announce the name on a Wednesday?
No, all right, fine. The Today Show people are not going to get the connection whatsoever.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, I don't think they care.
Like,
that's another conspiracy theory.
Samantha Guthrie is going to be like, what? Like, she'll be like, I didn't know I had to do this much homework to figure out what this is. And oh, by the way, all the housewives in Minnesota watching this right now have no idea what you're talking about at all. Like, not.
If you want my other conspiracy theory, as I, you know, have Pepe Silva this whole thing all the way out, I think something happened where, like, like NBC had some story on the football team and they said, don't release that. We'll give you the name. I think there's a conspiracy theory there floating around.
I haven't heard anything like that.
So I know you haven't, but I'm just saying.
I'd tell you if I did.
Sure.
I'd tell you if you were warm, but
okay.
I haven't heard a thing like that. I do know though, the people at the NFL Network must be like, what?
Yes.
They have got to be
told
like,
you that.
You're doing a national release and you're not doing it with us?
Right.
Like,
I mean,
what?
they'll cut in, I'm sure. I mean,
well, of course, but
how would they not? I mean, middle of the week. So,
I mean, look, I understand what the thinking is. I think they're thinking this is like first planting of a seed of a new brand, and you're trying to make it. I know their goals here. Like when they build this stadium, they're going to build something that is not just for football. They're trying to build an entertainment hub. So they're trying to change kind of the whole trajectory and outlook of the brand. I think that's easier said than done. Like, I don't think there are many sports brands that end up becoming part of pop culture that way, but I wish them luck in trying to do it, obviously. And I love being part of something that becomes that for sure. You know, like, I hope that happens, but even the Dallas Cowboys don't have the Dallas Cowboys concert series at Coachella, you know? So I don't know. So I get where they're coming from with this. You know, like I get it. I'm just like, I think it's there's some lofty kind of feelings about what this will mean and do. And at the same time, the people who are your true support base, they're the ones that can't attend it, can't celebrate with you, can't smile at each other. Like, we're just tweeting, did you see the Today Show? So why can't we just have some localized things in and around the release of the Today Show so that we can have a genuine first reaction with the fans who live here? Like, I don't understand it.
That's what I'm saying. There's got to be like, something.
Why can't we do that? Yeah, I don't understand it. Why can't we do that?
Right. Like, and I guess
they're saying you guys can just go do that on your own. I'm talking about team sanctioned stuff. Like, I'd love to do something like that. Can Terry McLaurin and Joe Theismann come to the party I throw so that we could just interview them after the name comes out? Right. Like, can we do that? Right. You know, like, is that a big ask?
It'd be nice.
Isn't this like one of the biggest days in the history of the organization?
It is.
Like,
yes.
And I'm like, what are we talking about here?
In terms of off the field, it is.
I'm going to go with, you're going to get good PR out of this one. Like, how are you not? They changed the name of the team. Got new uniforms. They're going to look really different. Anyway, February 4th, if you want to go down there, it's at 6 o'clock at the stadium. They're charging people $5 to go in. It's going to be all outside. And I don't know exactly, what they're going to do, but it sounds like a lot of alumni are going to be there and they'll have a bunch of photos, opportunities. And of course, if you want to buy the gear, it'll be available.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it'll be there.
So. I will say this too. There were, of course, a whole, host of people pushing back of $5. Of course, they're charging. It goes right to the Washington Football Charitable Foundation. And the reasoning behind that, I actually saw Keim and Michael Phillips tweet about this, was that basically when they had their free training camp in the summer, they had a ton of RSVPs and not a lot of people actually used their RSVP ticket. So the $5 is to keep everyone honest and say, you're showing up, you have a ticket, we'd like you to be here. Don't reserve a spot where someone else would actually want to come and you aren't going to come. So, and I'm fine with that. It's $5 a car. Who cares? It goes to charity. I want to say that out loud before we get any pushback on that.
And honestly, they probably could have been like $5 a car and you get $5 off a merchandise.
They say
order or
every
like,
car.
Done that.
They say every car is getting like some promotional giveaway
there
or
you
something.
Go. So, okay. So you're going to get the money back. You're going to get the money back. All right. I wanted to get this one other story because it kind of falls in line of weird things that teams will do to promote themselves. And did you see this thing about the Portland Pickles?
No, I don't even know. You said this in our rundown. I don't even know what you're getting at here.
The Portland Pickles are a summer baseball team from the West Coast League. Okay. And, like many minor league teams, will do a number of different things on, like social media to try to get attention, right, in general. And their mascot looks exactly like you would think. He's a giant pickle with glasses on and a baseball uniform. So they decided the other day they're going to have what they call mascot Twitter takeover. Their mascot, Dylan, Dill Pickle, will be taking over their Twitter account, and his next tweet will be him, feel free to show your support. His first tweet is, new phone, who dis? And it's a picture of him, except all you see is neck down to groin area, and you see what looks like easily misinterpreted a pickle. Okay. They're going to claim that that's a thumbs up, but it's like, there's no doubt in my mind this was done specifically on purpose. There's no way around that it wasn't. It's clearly this is the type of picture you would send if you were sending something like that. Then they tried to like play it down and put out a next tweet and said, we've ended our mascot takeover. It's come to our attention that the photo can be misinterpreted as a disturbing image. Dylan would like to go on the record and say he was trying to give his fans a thumbs up. Now,
I'm looking at the
picture. No one believes them.
I'm looking at the picture right now.
Nobody believes them.
Haven't deleted the tweet, by the way.
No, they haven't deleted it. And if you notice, so the people who are looking at this are going, guess who got tagged on this particular tweet? The man group, Manscaped, the male grooming tools. Steak'em, which has done a lot of very, offbeat social media stuff. Uh-huh. Skittles, offbeat social media stuff. Senator Scott Wiener, Oscar Mayer Wieners.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Of course they did.
Also, Corn Nuts was tagged as well.
Corn Nuts. Yes. Corn Nuts.
Also,
Daniel
Justin,
Popper.
Also, Justin
Chargers
Dickmeyer.
Beat writer for The Athletic. Daniel Popper. Bush's Beans is tagged on this. So they knew exactly. I mean, obviously, they knew exactly what they were doing.
Yes. And it hasn't been deleted either. If they're really like okay. want to do it, it'd be deleted too.
So I need a judgment call on this.
Uh-huh.
Over the line or fine, funny, subversive. I get what you're doing. You got a lot of attention for it, but I don't know. I'm not sure I want my kids to now want to attend a Portland Pickles game, you know, like
directly personally. On the line did not cross it.
But I mean, what they did show was a facsimile of a you-know-what pick of a mascot.
It's a minor league baseball team. They're trying to shock jock their way into the social media atmosphere.
Well, they did, because I'm reading about it. Otherwise,
right.
I would never have known
on the
about
line,
this.
Maybe just barely crossed it, but not enough for me to be offended at it.
So you're not... See, I think they crossed the line here.
I don't think they did. I think it's
think
funny.
They did.
I don't care. I think it's funny, too.
I think it's funny too. I'd like to know
what's
the youngest where they discuss this.
What's the youngest age on Twitter?
I don't know.
Probably teenagers. A teenager.
Teenagers.
If that, because I don't even know, you know, kids use Instagram more. I'm just saying there's worse on other social media platforms.
So I'm not pretending that like, oh my God, like cover your eyes, this is pornography. But I think there is a line of that joke is a little below the bar. Like, and you're only doing it specifically just to get attention.
True.
There's nothing to do. You know, like I could be like, what if I, before a game, like, was like, hey guys, get ready for the Washington football game. And there's a nude picture of me.
That's not, that's, you wouldn't do that though. Like,
of course I wouldn't. That's the point.
You're
wouldn't
not a minor league
like
baseball
that.
Team having a quote mascot takeover.
What if I went to a Bowie Bay Sox game? It was like, hey guys, check out this Bowie hon. And, you know, and then, you know.
It's a tweet. It's not in person. It's a tweet.
I call foul.
Okay.
On this.
I don't.
Call foul
don't.
On the Portland Pickles.
I call it good risque,
marketing?
Risque social media marketing. 56,000 likes on that tweet.
So
5,300
like,
quote
so it's
retweets.
Worth it. It's worth it. Right. It's worth it to be totally, totally below the bar for that reason.
Below the belt. Ayo.
Ayo. They went below the belt.
Yes. Yes. Minor Fine. League baseball team.
Fine. All right. Let's take a break. Mike Jones, USA Today, are going to set for the start of the NFL playoffs next. Pray watch the show. ESPN 630 Sports Capital. Very much the show, ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yingling, raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. This is the Bengals with Walk Like an Egyptian from 1987, which is Throwback Thursday this week, because this was the week of one of the most famous Washington playoff games, and maybe my favorite play outside of the 4th-and-1 Riggo run to win the first Super Bowl for Washington, Darryl Green's inexplicable punt return in Soldier Field against the Bears. It's Washington won on that day in a foggy day, 21-17. Might have been my favorite win that Washington ever had in the play because it was on the road. Really, really amazing. And Ron Rivera played for the Bears that day back in the 1980s. He was part of the great 85 Bears team. And, of course, this was 1987 when that occurred. So 35 years ago was the Darryl Green punt return game where Washington beat Chicago. Mike Jones is going to join us in a few minutes. He's going to come a little late because there was I would describe this as a somewhat surprising firing.
Yep.
David Culley, after 1 year, was just fired by the Houston Texans. So that means there are eight. That means a full quarter of the NFL teams have a head coaching vacancy. Brian Flores was only there for what, 3 years? 3 years,
three
right?
Years, yep.
The tank for Tua,
one of them was tank,
and then
yeah.
these last two.
Yep.
Jaguars was a situation in itself with yep. Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. Giants lasted 2 years with Joe Judge.
Yep.
The Raiders is open because of the John Gruden stuff, so that's a situation into itself.
Yep.
And now the Texans, after 1 year, and you know, I can already see the reaction on Twitter where people are like, that guy had a terrible team and a terrible situation with Deshaun. What exactly did you expect him to do this
exactly.
year?
Exactly.
So obviously there's something more to that, and I'll ask Mike this, but my gut reaction is they're talking to Deshaun Watson to clean up the mess, and he's saying who he wants as the coach.
That was my first thought when I saw it, because it literally broke on my phone when I finished my update. It was, uh-oh, they're talking to Deshaun. Yeah, they're going to say, what do we need to do? And he's going, first, get rid of that guy. That's the first step.
Could be.
And maybe I'm going to be right here. What if Flores goes there?
Right. I mean, that's the other one. When Flores got fired, now all of the sudden, you know, like he's available.
Yep.
He's the one who wanted to get him.
That's right.
They got rid of him. Well, they could just go get him.
Right.
And you know what? They'll get applauded. I feel bad for this guy. But like if they end up going to get him, bringing him in and smoothing literally everything over with Houston, it's probably the right result for everybody. And I don't know, I mean, now that he's not going where he wanted to go, Miami, maybe he has settled into, let's get this all over with, let's take care of it, just get me a guy in here I'm comfortable with, and we'll smooth it over and figure it out. So maybe that's what's happening. Holy moly. Boy, the patience in this league, it practically doesn't exist. When Ron Rivera joked the other day, if I draft a quarterback, are you going to give me 2 years? And he was joking when he said it. It was only half joking, really, because there's just none anymore. Just none. All right, let's welcome in Mike Jones from USA Today. Happy New Year, Mike. Haven't talked to you in a while. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, Brim. How you doing?
I'm good. All right, let me just get your general initial reaction to David Culley. My gut says in reading that they're trying to smooth over something with Deshaun Watson, and they're going to go hire a coach he wants and get him back in a Texans uniform. You think I'm off on that one?
No, I don't think you're off on that. Look, they would love, and their desire all this time has been to keep him there, and he did not want to be there. Now they're in the offseason, they asked a whole ton for him, basically to keep a deal from happening. So maybe they're thinking, okay, more time has passed. Maybe we can revisit this thing. Maybe we can get somebody that will let you have input on, which is all, like, he wanted input before this, And why did you go through this? Why did you hire David Culley and then go through this whole thing, basically waste a year, and then now you fire David Culley, even though his team overachieved? Just shows, again, more poor decision-making, but – yes, I think you're totally right on your instincts on this, that this is probably a last-ditch effort. Try to see if they can get Eric Bieniemy or somebody that Deshaun Watson is interested in playing for, and see if they can do this instead of hitting the total reboot with another quarterback.
Oh, I think it's Brian Flores. That's what I think. Brian Flores coached under Belichick. Casario runs the front office there, knows Brian Flores. Everyone else is going, what are you doing to Miami? When they fired him, he's the one who wanted to get Deshaun to Miami. Miami's owner comes out and says, we're not in the Deshaun Watson business anymore. I got my money on Brian Flores, gets an interview there, and is hired almost immediately in Houston. That's what I think.
That's a good call there. We just don't know as far as where does Deshaun Watson stand on Brian Flores. We know he wanted Eric Bieniemy before, but again, with those Patriots connections that you pointed out, that's obviously a possibility. Maybe they interview both of those guys and see. I know that Brian Flores is going to be a guy who wants to have final say, but Nick Casario is a GM who was so hands-on that he was in David Culley's headset during games. So I don't know if that's going to work with Brian Flores, who is a strong personality guy himself.
That's true? That the GM of the team was in the headset during games?
That they had some conversations about, like, okay, what scenario, what are we going to do with here? Yeah, he's a former coach himself, so he wanted to be involved there. And it just shows you that's what David Culley was dealing with. And they got the four wins, which they really were in every single game, and then he still got the raw deal.
Oh, my God. All right, let me ask you about a couple other ones. Jim Harbaugh, you think that's serious, a return to the NFL for him? And if so, where do you think he would land?
Well, I know Stephen Ross said that he was not going to take him from Michigan. But I keep talking to people who feel like, hey, he's going to Miami. I myself am like, he finally just got Michigan turned around. Is he really going to leave right now? We don't know. I go back and forth again. Stephen Ross said he wasn't going after him. And other people said they weren't. But I keep talking to people who say that they don't believe it, and they would be shocked if he didn't wind up there. So crazier things have happened. You can never say never. So I'm watching and waiting. I'm not going to rule anything out.
Okay. On Jacksonville. So I look at that and I go, I can't believe the big time coaches that are out there are not lining up to try to get to Trevor Lawrence. And maybe that says something about Trevor Lawrence. Like, what are you hearing? Cause I've heard some things now that the people are not so sure that he's going to be what everybody thought he was going to be when he came into the NFL. Urban Meyer or no Urban Meyer. So what are you hearing about him right now?
Well, more than I've heard more things that Trent Baalke, the general manager, who's a guy who's known to be very difficult to deal with, is a reason why there's also some hesitancy there. I think that you have to really get – I'm not closing the book on Trevor Lawrence, and I know there were people around the league who were surprised, like, man, he never really had one of those games where you saw those flashes like, hey, this is, you know, going to be that guy. But there's still plenty of people who would want to work with him, but the situation's got to be right. And Trent Baalke has got a bad reputation from his time in San Francisco, from his time there, even, you know, with these 2 years as general manager here. So we'll see how this thing shakes out there. They very well could find out that no coach wants to work with him, and then they wind up firing him.
All right, last one on the coaching stuff. I assume you're not surprised that Joe Judge got fired after the way he acted the last week of the season in the game against Washington, and of course that 11-minute rant that he went on. Where do you think the Giants go from here?
It'll be interesting. A few people I've talked to have said Brian Flores would be a good guy. He's from New York, obviously understands the history, the tradition. But then other people have said, I don't know if they want to go with a former Patriots assistant back-to-back tries. Another name that I've heard would be Raheem Morris, guy who, you know, was born and grew up 20 minutes from MetLife Stadium, a guy who's coached on both sides of the ball. Right now, the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. They're trying to make a Super Bowl push, but that's another name that's possible there for the Giants.
All right. Okay, let's get to the local team here a little bit. Obviously, Ron Rivera has stated out loud publicly we're going to get a quarterback one way or the other. I think it is an open question how they go about doing it, and I know he doesn't want to be on the record saying we're going to go do this or that because best laid plans, you never know if it's going to work out. So if you had to take a good guess right now, first, which way do you think they'll get one? Draft, trade, free agency, and in that vein, who do you think they would be eyeing to try to acquire and bring in here?
Well, I think that you might see both. You might see them get a veteran, whether it's free agency, whether it's trade, and also get somebody to draft. They're going to have a hard time selling themselves to the top guys that might be demanding trades. Like Russell Wilson, I don't think he's going to look at Washington and be like, oh, they're like one piece away, me, away from winning, contending for Super Bowls. You know, Deshaun Watson's not going to look at here and say, oh, that's a great destination there. So it might have to be, you know, a lower-tier guy. Maybe it's Marcus Mariota is going to be a free agent. There are a number of those type of second-tier guys that are going to be free agents that maybe you get one of those guys and then you go into the draft. It's not a super tough, deep quarterback draft. Certainly, don't have a lot of the mock drafts don't have a quarterback going in the top 10, so maybe they could get, but I was talking to a number of talent evaluators who only have first round draft grades on the Ole Miss quarterback and the Liberty quarterback, even though, you know, Pitt's quarterback is, you know, has a little bit of buzz about him, but they did not think that he was going to be that high up. So Washington, you know, you look at the teams ahead of them, they have a chance to get a quarterback, but I think that they can't just say, oh, we're just going to go one route. I think that they have to get a veteran and a rookie to develop for the future.
Okay. On the part about, and listen, you and I have lived it, so I know that this team has a lot of baggage for sure, but do you think Rivera and maybe even Jason Wright as well could go to one of these bigger names and sell the rebrand and sell you're the first and sell all of that stuff as this is a place you want to be. You'll be the first to wear this uniform. This is going to be a big deal that we're doing this, and you can be the first in it.
I don't think that matters to guys as much as, you know, what do you have to work with? What's your track record? And this team doesn't have a great track record. Guys that are going to be, you know, they don't want to go through 2 and 3 years. Like Washington might be 2 to 3 years away from contending if they do the right things. They, like, Russell Wilson wants to win now. Aaron Rodgers wants to win now. Maybe it's in the, you know, I don't know if it do the Browns succeed in getting somebody else, and then is Baker Mayfield available? Then, you know, maybe that's a guy that'd be, you know, more appeal to that. But I don't know that that has the appeal as much as when you look what you have to work with. Yes, you have a couple pieces, but this team, you know, isn't going to be ready to be in the mix of those Super Bowl contenders, no matter who you get at quarterback.
What do you think happens with, and I've kind of earmarked this one as a possibility for Washington, because Jimmy Garoppolo is obviously available. Mm-hmm. What do you make of his future? And do you, have you seen any kind of early possible landing spots for him? Because clearly he's going to be dealt by the 49ers this offseason.
It does seem like he's going to be dealt there. I heard one thing a couple weeks ago saying, oh, maybe they keep them. But when in checking with people in San Francisco, they feel good enough about Trey Lance's future. Now, if Jimmy, you know, takes them on a run, they get to the Super Bowl, does that change things? Eh, maybe. But I still think that they see what their future is. And, you know, to have two quarterbacks and be paying a lot of money, I think that he's gone somewhere. That's a guy who makes sense. Like I said, there's the number of second-tier guys that are solid that can help you. You know, there's going to be a number of teams. Pittsburgh's got to need, you know, a quarterback. The Saints are going to need a quarterback. The Vikings very well could need a quarterback if the new coach comes in and doesn't want Kirk Cousins. That's a lot of money that's owed to him. So there's going to be guys out there on the market. Yeah, Derek Carr is another one that could wind up being, you know, he's got 1 year left on his deal. If he get traded, that's another kind of guy that Washington could maybe go after that would give you a chance. He's not, you know, elite, but he's good. You know, so him, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's the type of tier quarterback that I think that Washington maybe could have a chance on. But, you know, elite guys, not quite.
Okay. Ron Rivera said it would take a while to build this team. They've had two under 500 seasons. Obviously, this one was a little complicated, especially at the end with all the stuff that happened with COVID and injuries and all that stuff. But still, the record is what the record is. As he enters year three and he's outwardly saying, I know I need to get a quarterback, and he's outwardly saying, I know there's pressure on me to deliver here. How would you kind of sum up his first 2 years running the show in Washington?
Well, the first year I thought they overachieved, and I mean, I know they didn't have a winning record, but they got to the playoffs, you know, won their division, even though it wasn't pretty. This year, you would have thought or hoped that they would have taken a step, so they did not take a step forward, and so from that standpoint, it's been disappointing. He does have the pressure on him. He's got to have them, you know, on a winning track next year. I'm not saying that he's going to get fired after next year if not, but again, we're seeing guys get fired after 1 year, get fired after 3 years when they've been more successful than Ron Rivera. So anything is possible. If you go out there next year, don't have a good year, nothing's out of the question.
All right. Where are you on the name? What did you want? What are you expecting to hear in a couple of weeks? Like, what are you hearing about it?
Man, I wanted something to do with the Hogs because I was like, okay, what ties them to history and what's, like, sentimental? But, you know, I think I was maybe in the minority on the Hogs. I didn't think of Red Wolves. Like, when have you seen a Red Wolf run around D.C.? Now, I don't know, is it Commanders or Admirals? I mean, I guess it's okay. I'm not, like, in love with either one, but maybe the uniforms would be cool and will win me over. You know, if it had been the Washington Hogs, you know, we could have had, you know, Joe Jacoby and Russ Grimm and them, you know, trot them out there and bring back the Hogs in the end zone. You know, that would have been fun to me, but they didn't call me for a suggestion, and I haven't even heard any rumors about something like that. So I don't think that that's where they're going.
My conspiracy theorist producer, Mike Callow, believes that because they're announcing this on Groundhog Day, that there's some kind of link to Hogs, actually. Well, like, that's,
that would be great if it was. I mean, but I don't know. Do you? I mean, are we looking too deeply into it?
Yeah, we are.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's a nod to the military. I think commanders, admiral, something like that. I think, and I always thought logically that that's where they would end up, somewhere with some kind of Washington nod to the military. All right, I'll let you go on this. Who you got in the Super Bowl this year? Who you think's going to make it?
Got the Packers and the Chiefs. That was my preseason pick, and looked a little shaky there for the Chiefs, but they look like they've righted the ship again. They've got the experience. They've got the talented quarterbacks. So I think those two are on target to face each other.
All right, sounds good. Great talking to you, Mike. Good catching up. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it.
See you, Bram. Thanks.
All right, that's Mike Jones. You can read him in USA Today. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Bram, watch the show. He's been at 6:30 Sports Capital. I hate Bon Jovi.
It's their best song.
I still hate them. That's how much I hate them. I hate their best song.
I'm going to bet you have been drunk at a bar at like 1 or 2 in the morning and you have belted out that song. Because if you haven't, you're lying. I'm just
confirmed.
Saying.
Confirmed.
There you go. So I'm just saying.
Confirmed. And I also probably sang I'm a Barbie girl one night at a bar at 2 in the morning too.
So?
That proves nothing.
Means they have staying power one way, shape, or form.
I'm sure there were plenty of times I was swaying my arms to hip hop hooray too. I bet that was happened.
It's probably like, also
if
true.
OPP comes on, I sing it. I'm not embarrassed. I'd do it. We chose 1987 for Throwback Thursday because 35 years ago, that was the year of the Daryl Green punt return game against Chicago in the 1987 playoffs. And Ron Rivera was playing on that Bears team. I can't wait to do the recap of it in the 5 o'clock hour because it's up there among maybe my favorite moments this team has ever had. Obviously winning the Super Bowls and beating Dallas in the NFC Championship game are kind of be hard to kind of top. But that particular one and that particular moment, it still stands out to me as maybe my favorite thing I've ever seen a Washington player do with that uniform on. Like,
you got to correct me if I'm wrong here, incredible. Too. Wasn't that the one where they got Daryl Green pregame showing the Tootsie Roll? Or was that, like, did they splice that together?
Oh, I don't know.
Someone confirmed that for me. Because I could have sworn they, like, actually had him take the Tootsie Roll out of his sock for that pregame, and then he actually did return the punt. So, yeah, someone correct
Daryl Green, what's interesting about, this team and the legacy and the history of it is, like, they don't have a history of freaks that have played for them that have these moments. I guess John Riggins would fall into that category, because if you knew how big Riggins was and how fast he was at his size, I guess he would probably qualify. But if you watch highlights of him, it doesn't look like that. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't look like Earl Campbell. He doesn't look like Walter Payton. He doesn't look like Barry Sanders, but he probably was. He probably falls into the category of it, even though it doesn't look it. And most of the all-time Washington players, like, it's the Hogs or it's Art Monk, who was kind of the everyman wide receiver. There was like nothing particularly he wasn't Calvin Johnson, it wasn't anything like that. Daryl Green was freakish in speed, but not in particularly in size. But what he did on that particular play in that game, it was a freakish thing. Like, he caught a punt, hurdled a guy, tore rib cartilage, and the most famous part is he's holding his side as he's running down the field and scores this touchdown. I think outside of Riggo's 4th-and-1 touchdown run in the Super Bowl, it's probably my favorite moment in Washington football history in my lifetime. I think it is.
I mean, it was before I was born, so I can't really weigh in. I mean, it's great. It's a great play. I can't weigh in.
It's incredible. Right. Okay. Let's see. Tom Brady was asked today, as they are set to play the Eagles in the playoffs, if he's aware that Eagles fans remain, quote, obsessed with the fact that he snubbed Nick Foles.
Snubbed him.
Famously, he didn't shake his hand after the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And even more famously, during last year's the 4-down game, remember, he thought it was 4th down and it wasn't in Chicago, and he lost to Foles. He also didn't shake his hand there, which, knowing Brady, I'd have to think was done on purpose. Like, there's no way that's a coincidence. I think he did it on purpose. Anyway, he lied to the media and said, I'm not aware that they're upset about this. And he said this, I've shaken Nick's hand plenty of times, so I have a lot of respect for Nick. I try to be a good sport as best I can. I know it doesn't always look like that because sometimes I get a little pissed out there, but for the most part, I try to be a good sport.
Tries.
Pro Football Talk put out a line and they're like, if the Eagles beat the Buccaneers, Brady should not shake hands with Jalen Hurts, just to kind of keep that going. Like, just keep that, that thing going.
If I'm Brady, I'd actually WWE it a little bit. Be like, hey, I'm not going to shake your hand after the game, no matter what happens, but we're cool. Yeah. I'll see you in the locker room afterwards or something
I'm
like that.
I'm going to do that because it's a funny bit.
Yes.
We're going to do that. It's a bit.
Yeah.
Don't get offended. It's a bit.
That's right. 100%.
All right. The other thing that came out today, the show that precedes us, Bart Scott, I guess he was on Get Up this morning. And his advice to the Buffalo Bills this morning was to take Viagra before the game that they play against the Patriots.
To Josh Allen specifically, because Allen, I guess, said, or I think it might have been Diana Rossini who had talked to him to say that he has poor circulation in his feet. So his feet get really cold really fast, leading Bart Scott to say that.
Okay. And that, well, he also qualified and said that a lot of guys did that when he was playing.
I've never heard that.
Neither have I.
Never heard that.
I feel like that's fake news of all fake news.
So do I.
Because
just because your circulation opens up doesn't mean you're not cold in -5 degree weather.
There's another side effect to that drug.
That too.
And I'm going to go with, that's not easy to run with. Full speed.
That's right.
Can you sprint right now? Because I can't. I'm going to be like, I'm not able to sprint right now. So I'm going to go with bad idea. But I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know that, like, maybe that is a performance-enhancing drug of a very different sort for football. I have a feeling that's better served for after the game and not before it, but whatever. You do you.
Got no idea. No experience with that one.
Mina Kimes put out a tweet yesterday where she was like, name your most, preposterous sports tweet that
crazy,
you think would actually be true. And her tweet was, if the Bills really want to get the most out of Josh Allen, they should build a dome. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Like, she's not wrong. She's not wrong about that one. That's a good one. And I saw a lot of the responses, and most of them were just terrible and not worthy of being, responded to, because none were as good as that one. You know, like, Buffalo, hurry up and build a dome so you can go win 5 Super Bowls with this guy.
The problem is people didn't, like, recognize that it should be something outlandish, because then people were just naming things that, like, could be plausible. Like, that, I hate when Twitter does that, when they take something and they just, you reveal your idea that you've had for so long that's like actually not that crazy. That one was crazy from her. The other one that I saw actually from that one was Sarah Sivian from the Athletic, who covers the Hurricanes. She said either the NHL gets rid of the shootout or the NBA has to do a dunk contest for the win after the first overtime, which I thought that's good. I like that one.
Dunk contest.
Yes.
That'd be pretty good.
After the first overtime, dunk contest.
You know what would even be better?
What?
The teams get to choose who dunks for the other team.
Ooh, I like that, actually. I like that a lot.
Like, LeBron James points over to the Nets bench, and he goes, all right, you go to the Wizards bench, and he goes, you know what? Neto. Let's see it.
Davis Bertans.
Yeah, Bertans. Dunk contest.
The other good NBA one I saw, which was amazing, and it would actually work in that sport, was when you beat someone in the playoffs, you get to steal one player off their team. For the rest of the playoffs. Just for the playoffs.
That's a good one.
I love that one. Because you're not taking the player away. They get to keep playing. Everyone has a rooting interest again.
Are you talking about in the NFL?
No. In the NBA.
Oh, in the NBA.
Yes.
Oh, in the NBA.
Yes.
So if you somehow knock out the Bucks, you get Giannis?
Yes. Yes. It would be the greatest thing of all time. And then it would be, the arguments would be absurd. Well, you guys beat the Bucks and got Giannis. Of course you won the championship. Yeah. Well, we had to beat the Bucks, didn't we? You know, like, the arguments become unreal.
The Hawks are like, yeah, but we beat the Bucks.
Yes.
Remember that part?
100%. And then guess what? You get to sell Giannis jerseys in Hawks colors for a month, and then he's back on the Bucks next year. Oh, it'd be the best. It'd be the best. It'd be so good.
Oh, my God.
You beat the Lakers, the Hawks, you get LeBron in the first round.
So the Hawks would beat the Wizards, take Beal,
yes,
beat the Bucks, get Giannis, beat the Nets.
Yes, and get KD.
Because the Nets stupidly took Lonzo off the Bulls when they beat him.
That's right.
Or LaMelo. They beat the Hornets and took LaMelo.
That's right.
Oh, and imagine, too, the best part of that is the guys who don't get picked.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Telling you,
can you
best.
Imagine you beat the Hornets and you're like, you know what? I'm going to take Terry Rozier. And LaMelo Ball is like, what?
You're dead to me.
Why wouldn't you pick me?
That's right.
Yeah. I like the All-Star game part of it when the guys pick guys because I love that.
Right.
Because there's so many frayed feelings over that one. It's like, you picked him over me? Yeah,
right.
I like that.
For me,
ooh, that's a good one.
For me, the NBA, that would just be the best because it would have so many.
Wow,
it'd have so many feelers, so many roots that would be ingrained in everybody for it. That it would just make for great.
Yeah, but like that, then like the regular season though is totally meaningless because it's like
it already is. Who cares?
I don't know. Like, and then like you get it. Like all of a sudden, like Phoenix has Steph Curry on their team. Like, it's like ridiculous.
Great,
they got Steph Curry and Devin Booker. Like all of a sudden, fine. Like, oh great,
fine,
great.
I'll buy a Bradley Beal Bucks jersey when they lose to him. It's great. It'd be awesome.
Oh, that is amazing. That that would be amazing.
It'd be so
and then
good.
What? You revert back to your other team?
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think teams would tank in the playoffs so that the player could get to a team that could win a championship
with? No, no, no,
do you think
no.
Bradley Beal shoots 20% from the field hoping the Wizards lose?
No, because if that happens and they don't pick him, you got to play well anyways. So
I don't know about that. I think guys would be like, I know we're not winning this anyway, so I'm going to take it easy in this playoff series because I know you're going to pick me.
You could have Beal, though, and then what if Kyle Kuzma's putting up a triple-double every game? And you're like, well, he's the hot hand. We're going to go with Kuzma. I'm just saying. You can't tank it.
I'm gonna revisit this in a minute. Barry wants to show ESPN 630 Sports Capital.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.